Welcome to Women's Words, a program bringing you the written work of the women of Minnesota.
My name is Stephanie Pearson, and I live in Duluth, Minnesota, and Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I'll be reading an excerpt from a story that I wrote for National Geographic Traveler called Sweden by the Sea. Oysters always taste best when you open them yourself, says Hannah Thorne Carlson, as she throws a thick blonde braid over her shoulder and grabs a bivalve from a bed of seaweed. With a move that would bloody a lesser shucker, she slices the oyster in half. The first rule of shucking oysters, she adds, is that you need a good glove. Why are oysters aphrodisiacs? Asks the only other guest on this oyster cruise, a foodie I've just met from Aspen, Colorado. I always eat them, so I don't know, Carlson says, laughing, offering her the open shell and dodging the question with a bit of Swedish restraint. But it's important to really chew it and feel the mineral taste. I'm on the Bohuslän coast, puttering between smooth gray granite islands topped by red cottages. This 112-mile stretch from Gothenburg to the Norwegian border on Sweden's west coast, or the best coast, as some call this playland of villages and 8,000 islands, has always been a summertime magnet for locals. But in recent years, international travelers like me have been drawn to Grebbestad's clean, cold salt water that produces 90% of the country's oysters, 70% of its crayfish, and almost half of its lobsters. Carlson is merely the latest Swede I've met with a visceral connection to the sea, an unbroken link forged by the Vikings. It's a far cry from the prim, garrison-keeler-style Scandinavia I imagined as a child in Duluth, Minnesota, a few hours from my great-grandparents' homestead. In 1883, they emigrated from Tvoker, south of Gothenburg, to the lumber and mining boomtown of Tower, Minnesota. Grandma Flossie would drag me to the Lutheran church basement for Swedish Cultural Society meetings, a gathering of white-haired ladies drinking coffee and eating lutefisk. On Santa Lucia Day, the Festival of Light, they anointed my blonde head with a crown of flaming candles. Luckily, my hair never caught fire. That naive vision changed the summer I turned 15 when my teenage Swedish cousin visited and shed her bikini top at our crowded Minnesota beach. If she was an accurate representation, my mother country was a land of free spirits who knew how to be one with the outdoors. Here, many years later, on the coast of Sweden, that perception seems to match reality. I'm fortunate to have hired Carlson as my oyster guide, as well as her father, Per, a former oyster opening champion of Grebbestad's annual competition. He shucked 20 oysters in 3 minutes and 5 seconds. The Carlsons have brought me out on the Tufa, their restored 1952 wooden cruiser that was built by the famed Swedish boat builder Gösta Johansson. Carlson passes me the knife, and I butcher a pale green mollusk. The meat inside is raw, like Swedish sushi. We return to the Carlsons' boathouse, and they invite us upstairs to an airy dining room overlooking the bay. "Are you ready for more seafood?" Hannah asks, placing a heaping platter on a pine table. Per pours Slovenian Sauvignon Blanc, and we raise our glasses to the languorous summer days ahead. My journey had begun in Gothenburg, Sweden's second-largest city, where I rented a Volvo and took the E6 highway north. Tempted as I was to explore the harbor in the city's 17th-century center, the highway proved to be a Scandinavian autobahn. I made my way through dense forests and across placid bays to Stromstad to catch a high-speed ferry to the coastal islands. Keeping a schedule seems ludicrous, but my urge to see the new park overrules and my lead foot prevails. Almost. I arrive in Stromstad just in time to see the ferry pulling out of the harbor. But as I sit at a waterfront cafe drinking strong black coffee, I realize that this historic spa town isn't a bad place to miss a boat. I watch a lithe, tall blonde woman and her even taller blonde husband stroll among teak rowboats and yachts in the harbor, languishing in the late spring lead-up to the midnight sun. I catch the night's last ferry, which skims over water smooth as glass, to arrive at South Coaster Island. My home for the night is the sprawling Hotel Coaster, built in 1905 and waiting for me 100 yards up the hill from the dock. By 6 a.m. the next day, the sun is already high in the sky. I meet Stefan Husar, a ranger for Kosterhavet National Park, which was established a few years ago on the centennial of Europe's first national parks, most of which are in Sweden. In conjunction with Norway's adjoining national park, Kosterhavet protects a sprawl of ocean about the size of New York City that's home to some 6,000 marine species. It's too cold to dive, so Husar leads me on an island tour by bicycle. The most spectacular scenery is underwater, he says, as we paddle through a meadow that will soon bloom with orchids and buttercups. But I'm content with the sights on land. Old-timers pass us in motorized carts they use in place of cars, and the leaves on the birch trees are budding. Next to Sweden's westernmost church, a cream white rectangle with green trim and a weather vane topping the steeple, we park our bikes at the base of Whale Mountain, the island's highest point. At the top of the granite monolith, we can see a brick-red lighthouse on a rock outcropping surrounded by frothing whitecaps. Beyond lies Norway. Hooster seems embarrassed that he's run out of special things to show me. Swedes have a tradition to just be in nature, he says apologetically. Most people come here to relax and swim and just be. No apology necessary. My ancestors left Sweden more than a century ago, but my ability to just be in nature is deeply embedded in my DNA. It's what I intend to do all afternoon.
To listen to this episode again or subscribe to the podcast, and for more information about this author and her work, go to KUMD.org and click on Programs, then Women's Words. Women authors of Minnesota who would like to read their work on Women's Words are welcome to submit their writing via email to KUMD@KUMD.org. Women's Words is produced at KUMD by Chris Harwood. The assistant producer is Haley Westfall. Music by Sharon Isbin. Funding for this program is provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.